Thank you very much, Pastor. It's an honor for me to be here today. I look forward to the day to be here. I thought about your pastor and family here. And so I'd like to thank you, Pastor, for the way that you've honored me today. I take it from God, and I'd like to thank the people for all the cards and the letters and that. I'll just pray that I've got, when I pull my car in the garage, there's somebody in Florida this one wrote me a poem about being a fundamentalist and the King James man, and my light shines on that, and I'll take this poster here and all them signatures, and I'll put it there so people can see. So I count it a great honor to do that, but I also, with from you and your people, also thank God for placing it upon your heart, and I accept it as from God. And if I look for the scripture, I didn't find it, didn't have time to find it. The Bible says, those that honor me, he that honors me, him will I honor. I'll honor him that honors me. And God has been so good to me. I wish I could just tell you those things in the last, two or three years and things that has happened. And so that God has honored me. I got to speak in the Philippines when 3,500 people came up. That God honored me. And I had, you don't believe this, you imagine me starting out on a mule down in Kentucky, right up in those hollers. I landed at the airport. The president of the Philippines, his bodyguard, his right-hand man over intelligence, had six, seven motorcycle people meet me there and bring me out and put me in a car. And down through Manila, have you ever been there? There's five, six lanes one way. That's a big city. And those motorcycles give me a motorcycle parade, and they go up to the car, and they hit the side of it, move over, hitting the trunk of the car, and they was experts on those motorcycles. And I thought of that scripture, God has really honored me. But I must not forget who I am and where I came from. I never want to forget what God has done for me. Now, I'll tell you a story that reminds me of this. An illustration said a king was going by the garbage one day, and he saw a little boy about 15 years old eating out of a garbage can. He told his driver, said, stop here, and he called the boy and said, son, how long you been doing that? He said, my mother and daddy died when I was 5 years old, and said, I've been eating out of garbage cans now for 10, 11 years. He said, I don't know, for some strange reason, I want to adopt you. You come get in this car, I'm going to take you home with me. The boy got in, had his old dirty shoes on, and the soles out, and the tops gone, and a pair of britches that looked like what we threw away in Kentucky 50 years ago, and the teenagers are now wearing it. Yeah. And so he said, in an old soil shirt, he told the butler, take him upstairs, scrub him up, and put some decent-looking clothes on him until I can have him some made. Call the tailor and tell him to start making giddy sizes. And for the first time, he sat down at the table, got to drink all the milk he wanted, and he was so happy to be there. Then he was put to bed. Next morning, he got up and had breakfast. Come down, nice robes, nice clothes they had made for him. This happened for about 2 weeks, and then he didn't show up one morning, and so the king sent the butler up to see what was the holdup while the little boy, and he opened the bedroom door. And there the boy stood, had that old shirt, dirty shirt on, old pair of pants that's worn out and shoes. He said, what in the world are you doing with those old ragged clothes on? He said, I never want to forget what the king has done for me. Amen. I never want to forget what the king has done for me either. Imagine seven of us in a one-bedroom house, oil lamps, no electricity, outdoor toilets. And where I was when God saved me at 28 years old, I never want to forget that. I never want to forget. And one of my desires is, Pastor, as I travel, I tell the pastor, God, please give me a listening ear to cry of those who are in need. And so it's amazing what God does. But I never want to forget what the king has done for me. And said, therefore, I'd like to read you something. I might have read it here before, but it fits the occasion. I'm just a dumb old Kentucky boy that ain't so very smart. And when I talk, I get mixed up. my gears are hard to start. It seems I don't have many brains, and when it comes that like other folks I know, and when it comes to society, my dumbness, there I show, don't give me two forks, only give me one. I found it don't take brains, my friends, the best in life to gain. It's not your wealth or what you are, what prestige you may obtain. It only takes just simple faith, eternal life to find. No matter who or where you stand, there's grace for all mankind, even a little boy down in Kentucky, and protection till you hear the gospel and be saved. I went down to the jailhouse once to witness for the Lord. I told them how the Lord saved me. They sure looked mighty bored. They nudged each other and they smiled, and they thought that I was dumb. But they stayed in, and I walked out when leaving time had come. And I'm still just a dumb old Kentucky boy, and I hope I'll always be just dumb enough to trust the Lord for the old King General Bible and all eternity. I inserted somewhere. I'm just dumb enough to trust the Lord for all eternity, and so I'll just keep traveling on, and no brains and not too smart. I'm just a dumb old Kentucky boy with Jesus in my heart. I never want to forget what the King has done for me. And the pastor's talking about raising money and things of that nature. Remind me of the mother went to wife went to her husband and says, quick, call the doctor, quick, call the doctor. I said, John Jr. swallowed a dime. And he said, I'm not going to call the doctor. I'm going to call the pastor. I said, why? I said, the pastor can get money out of anybody. So... I figured that'd fit the occasion, don't you? You might have a hard time finding a book in the Bible I'm going to speak from this morning, but it's Genesis. See if you can find that. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. The title of my message this morning is A canceled reservation. Have you ever canceled a reservation before? It might have been a doctor's reservation, a dentist, or it might have been an airline reservation. Now they charge you $150 if you cancel one after it's 24 hours old. And so, a canceled reservation. In Genesis chapter 1, I'm just with that title, then I'm going to come back to that. In Genesis chapter 1, I'll tell you what a great God we serve. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, there's the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God moved on the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that light, it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. I want you to look at verse 3 there again, and God said, look at verse 6. And God said, look at verse 7, and God made. And look at verse 9, and God said. And so look at verse 11, and God said. And verse 14, and God said. Verse 16, and God made. I explain to you what a great God we say. All God's got to do is think right now, and our hearts stop beating.
Yeah.
Huh? Right. We're here today because of God's will for our life. And think what a great God. And then it says chapter 1, verse 19. And the evening and morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth and open firmament. And going on down, let's go to verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so then it says down here, he said, and God, in verse 26, now to go to chapter 2, it says, he said, let us make man in chapter 2, verse 7, And the Lord God formed man of dust of the ground, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Then you would look over at verse 15, and the Lord took the man. Why did he make the man? God made the man for himself. Man was made for God. It says in 15, and the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Then God made a very interesting statement here in the next verse. I like it very much. God looked down from heaven, and he saw a man that needed somebody to cook for him and wash the dishes and diaper his children and keep the house clean. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should live alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. And so, therefore, it says then in verse 21, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And God said, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Our Father, we pray your blessings now. Upon the next few minutes, the Holy Spirit of God, please speak to their hearts. I'm going to speak to the ears now. I pray because of this message this morning, a canceled reservation, that many will not soon forget what was spoken of your word this morning. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, see, it said God said, and God made, and then he made man, and then he put man to sleep. I want you to notice, men, where that God got the bone from to make Eve his wife. He didn't get it from her feet, because a woman's not supposed to be stepped on. He took it from the heart. The nearest thing to Adam was his heart, and the rib protected that. That's where the bone. About, he didn't take it from the head, because a woman ought to be over the man. In 1 Corinthians it says, and Ephesians 2, it says, Christ's head is God, man's head is Christ, and woman's head is man. So therefore, a woman is, our wives is to be respected and loved. And it tells us, in there, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And also, it says that the wives is to be in submission unto the husband, because he's the head of it. Now, God said that, and some of you, two women got up and walked out recently. I said something about it like this. But God said that man's head is Christ, woman's head is man. Now, if you don't like that, you go home and cuss God out, but you may wake up in the morning paralyzed from the waist down, from the neck down, so just do as you want to do. He says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That means when a boy and a girl gets married, they leave dad and mother. Their first love becomes his wife. Her first love becomes her husband. Now, it'd be best that we who are dads and mothers keep our cotton-picking nose out of their business. Right. I say that to... I still speak for the pastor, been there several times, but he's had a lot of in-law trouble. They've had a lot of in-law trouble in America. His mother is all the time constantly coming to his house and criticizing things that his wife does. Doesn't iron his shirts, junior shirts, like I did. And by the way, Mama, you couldn't iron when you was 20 years old either. And if you leave him alone, Susie will eventually iron his shirt. As long as he's pleased with them, just keep your nose out of their business. That's what causes a divorce. If you don't watch, you'll get two or three grandkids raised, because he had the husband to pull a Hank Snow. You know what Hank Snow did, don't you? He moved on. And so, therefore, Then that one time they had three pages of questions. We go out to dinner. I go there to church. I still go. We're very dear friends of mine. I'm not very smart, but I ran around with smart men. Dr. Jack Hiles, John Rice. The Bible said, he that runs with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And so, therefore, I ran with some wise men. I've heard them counsel. Imagine, I've had the privilege of being on a ship with Dr. John Rice and Dr. Jack Hiles and eat 21 meals with them in a week's time, and then a lot of extras in between, too. I showed Dr. Jack Hiles, they some of those little puff, cream puffs you put like that and then squirt that filling in them, you know, that vanilla and caramel and stuff. I can still yet see one in his jaw and one in this Dr. Jack Hiles smiling and chomping eating. So I had friends who'd been with. So, but anyway, they'd asked me a lot of questions. So they called me about a year and a half ago and said, oh, brother, and so he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, what's your problem? What's your problem? My mama come up here and jumped all over my wife, said she wasn't fit to be the mother of the children, and we didn't like this, didn't like that. My wife's crying and said she's never come back in this house again. And if you don't go and tell her to keep herself out of this house, I'm leaving. What should I do? I said, buddy, I've talked to your wife enough. No, she'll leave you. And what are you going to do with three children? She leaves. I said, the best thing you can do is go down and tell your mama to take a pair of scissors and say, now, mama, I'm a grown man now. I'm married. My responsibility is my wife. Now, you cut that umbilical cord. There you go. Amen. Now, you stay out of my wife's business, and you're not coming to my house again and criticize my wife. You understand? My mother was not a very clean housekeeper, and I told my wife when I married her, one of the things I want is a clean house. And my mother, the first night she came and stayed with, you know, them false teeth they used to wear, they had some kind of a powder they spray on the back of her. Oxidant, Pepsodent, or something, I don't know. And I went, it's powder, though, and it sticks it to their gums, you see, at their mouth. And I got up, and I went in the bathroom, and there, that sink was all mess. I saw my powder in there. I said, Mama, come here. Do you do this? Yeah. Is that you? Yeah. And now, I didn't marry my wife to clean after you. You're welcome to stay here. Now, you clean that bowl. You understand? You don't come in my house and mess up things. I think my wife's going to pick up and that. You're going to make your own bed up, too. You understand? Just so we understand one another. But here's what it says. It says, now therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and his cleaving to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And so, therefore then God, after he made man, and he told Adam one day, Pastor, you ought to like this, told Adam one day, Adam, I want to make you a woman. Adam said, what's a woman? Never one was made before. You know what he's talking about. And so he described a woman to him. And he said, Lord, I'll take one. Then after he made Eve, God came back one day in the Garden of Eden and said, hey, how you like your woman I made you? Oh, is that all? She had a lot of company. Oh, I don't know how I would make it without her now. I don't know how I ever live without her. So we walk and talk during the day and talk to the birds and we pick berries and we have conversation. Oh, it's life is much more happier now with the woman you gave me, Lord. And he said, well, now, since you are man and wife, I want you to go and hug her. Hug her? Why do you do that? So go over and get this close as you can to her and put your arms around her and pull her real close. Okay. He come back and said, Lord, I like that. And so he said, now, since you also are married, now I want you to go kiss her. Well, what's a kiss? Well, he said, you put your arms around her and hug her. Don't worry. It's not going anywhere. So, get your mind out of the gutter. So I want you to pull your arms around her and then hug her real tight and kiss her. And he put a big lip lock on her and come back and said, Lord, I like a kiss a lot better than I like a hug. And so we stopped there. So then he made Adam and Eve and then put them into the Garden of Eden and forewarned them. And so therefore, in chapter 3, verse 1, now as I go on now, I canceled reservation. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. That's the old devil. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, you may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, yea, ye shall not surely die, for God knoweth that in the days we eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, woman saw that the tree was good for food, of the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also her husband with her, and they did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of God, the Lord, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. I want you to notice here, beloved, what happens to you and I when sin gets in our life. Sin is what keeps us from church on Sunday night. Right. Sin is what keeps us from tithing. Right. Sin is what keeps us from Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and so on tonight. And forgiven their money. It's sin. A lot of times when people drops out from church, it's because of sin.
Right.
It's sin. Now, we hide. We can't be around a righteous God when we've got sinners. We hide. We make excuses. And so, therefore, he says here, Adam, he said, then I believe. Now, this is in the Greek and Hebrew and the hillbilly and the talk and everything else. But I believe the old devil got together. Now, here's his. Now, listen to this. A cancel reservation. The old devil got together and began to have a party. I think his little evil spirits and demons, I think they came to the party and said, why are you so happy? Why, he said, happy? I've just invited everyone that's born into this world that have an open invitation to come to hell and burn forever into the lake of fire with me. When they reached the age of accountability, he knew that if they do not repent of their sin, hey, I've got an open invitation. Just come to hell with me. It says that he was thrown in Revelation 20. He was thrown in the bottomless pit. And then a few verses later in 20, he said to God, he had faced God. God loosed him out of 1,000 years out of that pit. And he was the great white throne judgment. He was cast into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever and ever. So the devil was happy. He had an invitation for you and I to go to hell. But you, like I did, you canceled that reservation, didn't you? Huh? You canceled his reservation when you go on your knees and you ask Jesus for you, your sins saved. By the way, you got an everlasting reservation there. There's no cancel. You can't cancel that. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. So you get everlasting life. And how long is everlasting? 1,000,000 years or 1,000,000,000 years or forever? It's forever. And you got that when you canceled the devil's reservation.
Amen.
He that believeth. And it's everlasting. John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. By the way, hell is the highest reward that the devil can offer you.
Yeah.
You think of that. So, in 1959, after I've been spent 28 years in sin, I heard about Jesus, heard this, how he would forgive me, and I go on my knees. I said, Jesus, I've committed practically every sin there is. For 28 years, 7 car wrecks, and turning and tumbling all the times in the coal mines, I cheated death. If I died in my sins, I'd gone straight to hell. Now I want you to forgive me of my sins and save me and take me to heaven when I die. I canceled his reservation. I'm going to ask you something. If the devil, God made Adam and Eve, we know that, and put them in the garden, they had never sinned, and the devil tricked them into sinning, you think he could trick you and I?
Right.
You think he said, well, if you're here now and you never canceled that reservation, if you're not sure you're saved, I can go a little step farther. I can say, can you tell me where you was at when you got saved, when you got born, when you canceled that reservation?
Yeah.
I know the spot where I was at. I don't want you to come tell me my mama said I did when I was 4 years old. Mama said, I want to know for sure where that you know for sure. I'm going to ask you now, when you join the church, I'm here to tell you, join every Baptist church in the world. If you depend on church membership, you're going to go to hell. You haven't canceled that reservation if you depend on your membership. You haven't canceled that reservation. If you've been baptized, you only cancel. Only one person can cancel that reservation, and that's Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but me. Now, that's pretty simple, isn't it?
Amen.
I didn't have to go to college to understand that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but me. So I canceled that reservation. I confess my sin, and it's, as I said before, it's everlasting. There's no expiration date on that reservation either. I was in an airplane flying the other day. I led the person set before me before this flight here to Christ. And so I'll tell you about it. I was in Monterey, California speaking. I got 5 o'clock in the morning going to catch a plane that day and go back to Honolulu. I lift my arms up the sky and looking over the bay. I said, "Dear God, help somebody sit on an airplane today that's hungry for the gospel, that I can win them to Christ." When I got to the airport, somebody got mad at airlines, evidently. When the plane come in to land, they stuffed baby diapers down in the commode. It took them 5 hours to get that out. We said, talk. And so there's a couple of ladies there sitting beside of me, and so they said, "Would you watch? We got talking a little bit, wondering where it's going to take off." And I said, "Would you watch our luggage while we go and have a sandwich?" I said, "Sure, I'd watch it." Then when they did get the airplane, I sat there for 7 hours. I got on the airplane, and I sat down. My seat is an aisle seat, and who comes to get the window seat but the woman I was talking to and watched their luggage. Plane took off, and I told her what I did and got to witness to her and talk, and she had 100 questions about honest questions. She had been raised some Catholic a little bit, and she had a lot of questions for me, and I kept answering. Boy, she said, "That's a great encouragement. That's helping me a lot," and kept right on. Then I went to, and then I asked her this. She said she couldn't understand the Bible. I said, "I want you to read John 3:16, and I'd read show some scripture in John." And she read, "You understand that? God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Jesus, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish." Can you understand? Can you understand 14:6? "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but me. I'm on the way." You can understand it, can't you? By the way, let me ask you, if this plane would go down and crash right now, and I'm cutting a lot of it out of what I said to her, it lasted about an hour, and she kept thanking me, very gracious. And she was an engineer, by the way, too. So God can take an uneducated coal miner, though, with the help of the Holy Spirit, and He can make an engineer understand. I said, "Would you like to bow your head right now?" I went through the plane and asked Jesus to forgive sin. Yes, she said I would. And when she did, I said, "Now, according to the Bible, you got everlasting life, right? You canceled that devil's reservation, is that right?" Yeah. She said, "Yes, you canceled it." And so she said, "Yes, I did." And so then she said, "You sure have been a blessing to me?" I said, "Well, you've been a blessing to me." "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, this morning at 5 o'clock, I prayed and asked God to set somebody here beside me that I could tell." So it's fulfilled. God fulfilled my prayer. And then she said, "Well, you don't understand. I wasn't supposed to sit here. I had another aisle seat back behind you, but I don't like an aisle seat, like a window. And I asked for a window seat a while ago at the airport, and they said, 'Yeah, we got one left next,' and get them right next to me." That almost makes me believe in God. What about you? Amen. I got her to cancel that reservation. Now, that's 1959. Now, then, "Pastor, I wasn't a Christian my entire family." Then it was my responsibility to go to my family and talk them into canceling the devil's reservation. That makes sense, don't it?
Yep.
"Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel of Christ." John chapter 1:1, it says, Andrew first found of his own brother Peter. So it's our family members. It's my responsibility, since I knew Christ, and God said, if you fail to warn the wicked way, and they die in their sin, their blood will be required to your hand. So I began to go to my uncles and aunts. Had two uncles, alcoholics, practically mean as a snake. And so I began to go and talk to them about Jesus and got them to go to a revival. And a revival started, and I go and get them in the car and take them there, and they began to get, boy, begin to get saved. It's amazing. God saved 11 of them in 6 weeks. I'm glad that I got most of my relatives saved before I found out you can get your relatives saved. Then I saw two uncles. They're in heaven now. Three uncles in heaven now. Two nephews. And then I've got an aunt, cussed like a sailor, tell the meanest stories you ever heard. She got saved, boys, all she want to talk to about Jesus.
Amen.
And so I'm getting them to cancel the old devil's reservations. And so it come near the end of revival. My mother wasn't saved. I said, "Now, Mama, your sister's been saved. Your brother-in-law has been saved. Your brothers. And a lot have been saved." And I said, "Mama, you need to get saved. You need to get born again." And so she said, "No, not tonight. But I kept picking her up and taking her to church. One night I came back and said, "Mama, you got to get saved." "No, I don't think I'll live it, son. I dropped her off, and I dropped my wife off, and I said, honey, you're going to go to bed. I don't know when I'm going to be to bed. And Pastor, I didn't know John 3:16, but I knew enough of the Bible to believe that it was the Word of God,
yes,
the power of God. And so all I did for hours that night, crawl, beg God, God, I didn't know much how to pray, but God, I don't want my mama to go to hell. I said, God, please save my mama. That's all I could say. God, please save her. Please, please save her. How much I cried, I don't know. I couldn't pray, but I knew how to cry. You might not know how you people, but you know how to cry.
Yeah.
When they see enough difference that's happened to you, like my brother coming to Chicago, you've got to go to church. You've got to go to church with me. I heard you got religion. I said, no, I got Jesus. There's all the difference in religion. Paul tried the religion, didn't work. Then he traded his religion to conversion and regeneration. And so I told him about Jesus. And then I kept putting the pressure on him. I had a building supply business, and I was behind the counter and talked to him. And he said, I didn't bring a suit then. I might come to church. I said, well, I'll buy you a suit. Now, when you got crying and you won't see your people saved, you tell God about it and you cry. And my brother was saved within 2 weeks. And you know what his testimony was? I've seen my brother had a pocket full of $100 bills. He wouldn't pay a nickel for a Pepsi Cola. And he offered to buy me a suit. I knew that he had something. You see what the Holy Spirit can do? That comes from tears. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing new sheaves with him. Bible says, he that goeth forth weeping. Dr. Robertson told the story once of a man who became an attorney and turned to his mother, didn't want anything to do with religion. His mother was a Christian. She became an attorney. She sent him literature, sore of the Lord, and stuff like that, and he didn't want to hear it. So he said to the secretary, I don't need it anymore, that trash. Just throw it in the basket. One day his secretary was sick, and he went to the mailbox and got it. There's a letter from Mama, a little box. And it opened up, and he said, dear son, I gave you birth. I'm not going to live much longer. I prayed and cried. I want you to go to heaven. And to prove it, he said, I've cried this little bottle of tears, careful of tears. I've saved them. I've cried them. I don't see you go to hell. And conviction came out when he got on his knees and asked Jesus to forgive me of sin. He canceled that resurrection. Why? The woman cried. The woman cried. Back to my mama. I said, Mama, you've got to go. So I told my wife after I spent all that time, what time I got in bed in the morning, I don't know. But the next day, next night, I picked her up. I said, Mama, he's coming in the revival. You got to get saved. No, not tonight, son. But when the evangelist spoke that night, sitting about the third row right back here, the first person at the altar, my mama, the Holy Spirit of God gripped her heart, and she got on her knees, began to weep, and she canceled that reservation. My mama canceled the reservation. My brother canceled it. My sisters preached my brother's funeral. This past October, took him down near Pikeville, Kentucky, drove 23 there and buried him beside my daddy, drove from Michigan down there. I buried him. He's in heaven today. My sister's in heaven, another sister, 4 years younger than I was. She died. She retired Ford Motor Company. I got her to cancel. I got my aunts and uncles and cancel reservation. Now I guess there's 60 or 70 of them. I got them to cancel that reservation.
Yes.
I was on an airplane flying again the other day and went through there. I was sitting on the side of an engineer, very congenial, began to talk. And he said, we can go down in the water with my work. We can get samples of oil. And we can come out and tell you where that's Exxon. I don't care how long it's been there. It said oil has its own fingerprints like we do. We can tell where that oil came from and what well. It has its own fingerprints. I talked to him a while, and then I went through the plan of salvation and tried to get him saved. You wouldn't do it. And I said, you got a wife and family? He said, yes. I got a wife and three boys. I went through the plan. I showed him the house in Luke 16:19. I showed him all the scripture I know. No, he won't do it. I said, sir, I'm going to give you an illustration to think about. I'm not mean. I just want you to think about this. I've showed you today, if you get saved, then it would be your responsibility to go to your wife and children, get them in church, and get them saved too.
Yep.
Now, that's supposing that I pulled up beside of your house one day this week. Let's say it was 1 o'clock in the morning. And I saw all of a sudden a flash go up your drapes in your living room. I saw it catch the rest of the house on fire. And I sat there for 35 minutes, and here come the fire truck. They got out and looked at it, and the house was ready to collapse. And they said, how long you been here? I said, ever since I started, 35 minutes. I've been here. Well, they said, we can't go in there now. And they collapsed. And your wife and your three children was in there. And they burned up. And then about that time, you pulled up and said, did you see it? Yeah, I've been sitting here for 35 minutes. You sat here for 35 minutes. You didn't try to knock the door down, try to get my wife, Jill, out of there. What kind of a Christian are you? You're not warning. You're not trying. That's what you would say. Now, I've told you right now. Now, one of these days, if you don't do what I'm saying, your children's going to look you in the eye, and they're going to say, Dad, why didn't you listen? See, I'm going to appear as a witness against you and the great white throne judge. God's going to tell me, did you go through the plan of salvation? I said, yes, he's turned it down. And your children's going to look and say, Dad, why didn't you do what that man said? Why didn't you come tell us? And his wife said, why didn't you come tell us? I left him with that. Very congenial, no meanness or anything, with a broken heart. I gave him something to say. And the Lord seemed to say to me, since he's traveling so much, I don't know why, just impression again. He's cheating on his wife. That's why he don't give up that second love affair. See, the old devil had his blinding.
Yeah.
See, the old devil. See, it's his responsibility. He's not happy. He's not happy that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And he's not happy. He's going to do everything he can to destroy our homes, destroy your children, make them turn out bad. And the only hope is to get them to Jesus Christ and get them to cancel that reservation. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If my mother could talk from heaven right now, she would say, yes, I'm in heaven because my son cried for me. And my son kept warning me. My brother would say, yes, I'm in heaven today because my brother cared and got me to cancel that reservation. My sister would say, yes, my brother got me to cancel that reservation. He preached my funeral too.
Amen.
One man in a family can make a difference.
Yes.
I did it.
Yes.
And there's about seven. Why? Because I went to the Bible. First of all, I canceled that reservation the devil had for me. Then I've been going around all over the country now and getting people to cancel the reservation. By the way, do you have any unsaved loved ones? What are they going to say to you?
Right.
Have you witnessed to them? Is your mama going to heaven? Is your daddy going to heaven? Your children going to heaven? Your brothers, your sisters? Even friends you work with? God left you and I here for a purpose, and that was to tell to get them to cancel the old devil's reservation. I see it happen. I go store after store after store. But you've canceled that reservation. Now, why don't you get others to cancel the reservation too? Mama, daddy, brothers, sisters. Our Father, I pray now as you speak to hearts with their heads bowed. Now, I know, dear God, there's people in there that got unsaved loved ones. And, dear God, they need to go to them and get them to cancel that reservation before it's too late. With their heads bowed now, no one looking around, but when I asked you a question, I'll ask you to show how many right now you can think of someone, maybe a relative, dad, mother, brother, sister, cousin, relative, but you can think of someone right now you'd love to see God save. And so would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. You can think of someone right now. Yes. Yes, you can see it. You would put your hands down. I'm going to ask you a question. If God would let you live another 10 days, would you promise God that you'll go to that person, call them or write them, have to cry some tears in a bottle and send it to them and say, I want you to cancel that reservation. The old devil has a reservation for you. And I want you to cancel it like I did. I want to see you in heaven. I love you very much. If God will let you live another 10 days, would you promise God that you'll try to win that one to Christ? Would so raise your hands? All over. That's right. You love them enough? They want you to. I wish somebody had told me earlier, and you would have too sooner. I'd like to have been saved. To cancel that old reservation the old devil's got for us and have life everlasting in Jesus Christ. Now that's all stand. That's all stand. Pianos begin to play. You want to sing a song to come? Now, if you made a decision back there, why don't you come right here and tell it to God? I want you to say, I want to see my mama saved. I want to see, but God, you know respect to persons. You love me as much as you do Russell Anderson. I don't see my relatives in hell. I don't see my children in hell. I don't see my brothers and sisters in hell. Why don't you cancel that? Beg God to cancel that reservation. Pray, beg God to give you the tears that your mother, your father, your brothers, your sister, your relatives, beg God to give you the tears, the words to say that they'll cancel that reservation. Why God's talking to your heart? Why don't you do it? Why don't you come? One thing made a decision back in another one. You know, we Baptists, we all start walk the aisle more than what we do. Yeah, I canceled this reservation. Where would I be today if I hadn't? I'd probably been in hell. I was too wicked. Carried a gun, wasn't afraid of nobody. Today would be a good day to cancel that reservation. By the way, you might have been here. You have never have canceled that reservation. I don't know. Why don't you come today and let us take the Bible and show you how you can cancel it right now?
With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. I can remember the day. I can remember the spot. I can't tell you the date, but I can tell you the year, and I can tell you roughly the month. And I can show, I could take you right back to Sherman's over there where we used to live, me and Rosie, when we first got married. And I can take you to an old green couch that I paid $110 for, where I got down and I asked Christ to save me. I remember, Dr. Anderson, I remember the day God canceled that reservation for me. You know, if you're not sure, you ought to come right now and get saved. I wouldn't put it off. How many could say, preacher, I know for sure I've canceled that reservation. I know for a fact I've trusted Christ. Could you raise that hand? I know for 100% sure. Thank you. You may put them down. How many would be honest with yourself and honest with God and say, preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm really not sure. I'm really not sure if I died, if I'd go to heaven or hell, and I don't want to die and go to hell. Preacher, I'm not sure I really did cancel that reservation. By the way, if you didn't, once you die, it's too late. You can't reverse it. You either go to heaven forever or hell forever. It's for eternity. There's no turning back. Maybe you hear that and you say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I've canceled that reservation. I'm really concerned. Pray for me. Just raise your hand. Let me see it. Raise your hand. Pray for me. I'm not sure. Who'd say that? Pastor, I'm not really sure. I'm really not sure. If you're not sure, I want you to come forward on this. We're going to sing another verse. Some of you have been saved. And you've canceled that reservation. You're on your way to heaven. But you know, some of you have never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Baptism doesn't get you to heaven, but I'll tell you one thing: is we're commanded after we're saved, we're commanded to follow him. Believers, it's a testimony that we've trusted Christ. It's obedience to his command. Let me encourage you: if you've never been baptized, you've been saved, but why don't you come forward and get baptized today? Why don't you follow? Why don't you let the Lord have first place today? Forget about everything else. Put God first today. Father, I just pray for those. I believe in my heart there's people here that really don't know for sure. Holy Ghost, go up and down the aisles. Search people's hearts today. And Lord, if there be some that's never canceled that reservation, oh God, Satan wants them to go to hell, but Jesus doesn't. That's why he came and died for them and rose, so he could cancel out that reservation for them. Help them to come today and trust Christ. Help them to forget about people looking around. And just, Lord, help them to come. And then, Father, there's Christians here that's never been baptized. You've saved their soul from hell, yet they've not yet been obedient to follow in believer's baptism. I pray today you get a hold of some of their hearts and they'd come forward and get baptized. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.